Mm. Oh, put it in.
Did that bring us in?
Yes, yes. Oh, it's in. It's in. Oh, deeper.
Party on your pussy.
The Reverend is in.
The Reverend is in.
The Rev Bookburn Show. Sunday evening, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now heard on LoisBura.com.
Ready? Alright, yes, this big phallic looking thing is working. Alright, let's begin. Good evening, this is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight we have a very special show. Tonight we are celebrating the anniversary of Right to Privacy Day, the anniversary of Bill Baird's Supreme Court victory that legalized birth control for non-married people and set the primary legal precedent for Roe versus Wade. Less than a year later, the Supreme Court decision that legalized abortion, and he subsequently won two other Supreme Court cases fighting against the restrictions that anti-choice buffoonery tried to pass in the later 70s, and including those against younger people. We're going to play the first set of tunes in a minute, but I want to say at the beginning and the end of the show, in case people have limited time or only catch a part of the show, Right to Privacy Day, which is the anniversary of Baird versus Eisenstadt, is March 22nd, 1972, and there is full detail about that case and the historical significance of such a victory. And he had no help. He had no help from civil liberties unions and organizations. He had no help from big organizations of any kind, and he had no help from even the larger pro-choice organizations. And in fact, it was even a part of the internal squabbling at the time, but the case was won. It put him massively in debt, and for some reason that I'll never figure out, it's omitted from the majority of pro-choice books, which is mind-boggling. But anyway, they are in pretty serious financial straits now at Bill Baird's organization called Pro-Choice League. And you know, Reverend Bookburn never, since the beginning of the show in January 2001, has ever asked for a penny from the Bookburners or casual listeners. And I continue to do so. But I have nothing to gain by saying this, but except that he's a good friend and I support him. If you are in a position to send a couple of bucks, please check out the contact info at prochoicelig.org. And if you're not, please get in touch with him anyway and just say thank you. Because really, anybody who ever fucked, anybody who ever used birth control, anybody who ever benefited from somebody winning against the kinds of assholes from the American Christian Taliban and the four founders of the four parents of the teabag psychos and all these kinds of assholes, anybody who's ever fucked really owes him a thank you. And in addition, he has fought for gay rights. He has fought for alternative lifestyle and open lifestyle communities of people. He's fought for the legalization of marijuana ad infinitum. So please check out prochoiceleg.org. And we're going to open with a track by DOA for the first set of tunes. This is from their Festival of Atheists CD. And I hope this is back in print, because it is one of the best DOA records. It's from 1998, from their own label, Sudden Death Records, suddendeath.com. This is DOA doing a song they actually recorded for and dedicated to live when they played in Philly that year. The anti-abortion terrorists, who were in full swing by then, and in acknowledgement to what assholes they have been and still are, DOA recorded this song for them. It is entitled A Gun and a Bomb.
Jews in the world, there are Buddhists, there are Hindus and Mormons, and then there are those that follow Mohammed's books. I've never been one of them. I'm a Roman Catholic and have been since before I was born. And the one thing they say about Catholics is they'll take you as soon as you're warm. You don't have to be a six-footer. You don't have to have a great brain. You don't have to have any clothes on. You're a Catholic the moment that came. Because every sperm is sacred, every sperm is great. If a sperm is wasted, God gets quite irate.
Every sperm is gold.
Thank you. This is Halliburton, Ernie, and it's so good to be here tonight with Reverend Bookburn and Pastor Whoremaster and John the Craptist while we're celebrating Bill Baird's Supreme Court victory of 1972 and ProChoiceLeague.org and celebrating the spirit of freedom and justice. And now we're going to play a song by pro-choice activist Sandy Rapp, who recorded this track on her CD, Flag and the Rainbow. And the song is about Bill Baird and is entitled The Ballad of Billy Baird. This is Halliburton Ernie introducing you to Sandy Rapp.
Eight times in jail was Billy Baird, that young and gentle pioneer. Took to the streets when he saw a woman died from an underground abortion. What keeps you going, Billy Baird? What keeps flowers in your hair? Well, you've been so singing the good song, you keep the 60s rolling on. He bought a van with all he had and set about to spread the word. When just a mention of prevention was illegal to be heard, three times to court was Billy Baird, the highest court in all the land. When it was seen as criminally obscene to speak of a parenthood that's planned, if the right to privacy means anything at all, it is to choose whether or not to bear a child. So spoke the court in 72 when Billy Baird's first case made birth control legal. What keeps you going, Billy Baird? What keeps flowers in your hair? Well, you've been so long singing the good song, you keep the 60s rolling on. There was a bomb in 79, no doubt Bill was meant to die. Billy escaped, but the morning break found, they burned his clinic to the ground. They see the devil in his face and shoot the windows from his place. They're for creation, not information, and they've killed nine providers now to date. And the court decided twice again for Billy Baird, cited Baird v. Eisenstadt six times in Roe v. Wade. Then Baird faced jail again, this time for rights of gays. For years he was denied the vote for felonies such as these. Some leaders thought he'd cut a deal, too radical to be for real. Maybe he's here to play, maybe he's CIA, maybe he wouldn't last for long. 30 years and nine has been and gone. Billy's doing fine and going strong. Still he's without a dime, fighting the good fight. We've heard the 60s in his song. What keeps you going, Billy? Flowers in your hair. When you've been so wrong, singing a good song, you keep the 60s rolling on and on. And you've been so wrong, singing a good song, you keep the 60s rolling on.
do you say we lighten things up and talk about abortion?
You know, I feel like I'm losing some of you here, and I want to win all of you back with this one. Let's talk about abortion. Let's talk about child killing and see if we can't get some chuckles rippling through the room here. Let's talk about mass murder of young, unborn children and see if we can't coalesce into one big, healthy gut laugh. Boy, I've never seen an issue so divisive. You ever seen? It's like a civil war, isn't it? Even amongst my friends, who are all very intelligent, they are totally divided on abortion. It's unbelievable. Some of my friends, for instance, think these pro-life people are annoying idiots. Other of my friends think these pro-life people are evil fucks. How are we going to come to a consensus? You ought to hear the arguments around my house. They're annoying. They're idiots. They're evil. They're fucks. Brothers, sisters, come together. Can't we once just join hands and think of them as evil, annoying, idiot fucks? I beseech you. But that's me, Libra rising. The scales. And strangely enough, Shiva, the destroyer. Who would have thunk it? We're pro-life. Ooh, you look it. Look like you're filled with life. Oh, little kids, please don't adopt me. Please don't adopt me. We're your new Christian pro-life parents. Oh, where's the tower? Where's the gun? Where's the tower? Where's the gun? I was adopted by pro-life Christians when I was a kid. Does my penis make me a bad boy? That's what they told me. Please, give me the Satan-worshipping family down the block. The ones that have the good albums. Suddenly I'm adopted by the Flanders, you know. Hi, Bill. Isn't it another beautiful God-created morning? We're pro-life. It's like, what does that make me? You know what I mean? You're so pro-life. You're so pro-life. Do me a fucking favor. Don't block med clinics. Okay? Lock arms and block cemeteries. Let's see how fucking committed you are to this premise. She can't come in. She was 96. She was hit by a bus. There's options. What, do we got to have her stuffed? What are you talking about? She's dead. We're pro-life. Get her out of that casket. Get her out. She's not going. We're pro-life people. There'll be no death on this planet. Pro-life. And I always say, see, my theory, here's my actual theory beyond... huge, hilarious jokes I have. Here's my real theory, though. If you're so pro-life and you're so pro-child, then adopt one that's already here that's very unwanted and very alone and needs someone to take care of it to get it out of a horrible situation. Okay? And people say, well, why don't you do that? And I say, because I hate fucking kids and couldn't care less. Couldn't give a fuck. Don't care about it all about abortion. It's your choice. Case closed, the end, bottom line. And by the way, a three-month-old kid in your belly is not a fucking human being. Okay? It's a bunch of little congregate of cells. You're not a human till you're in my phone book. There. My hat is now in the political ring.
Drive spineless. drums, then with guitars on, plugged into amplifiers. And as their sound rose from the ground, it stoked the flames up higher. Then unto me, old Verge Dunn spoke.
Beelzebub is their king, and if you can, above the din, you just might hear him sing.
Beelzebub's us preaching the word. Yes, go forth and multiply the word, my friends. I'm talking to all you fornicators, masturbators, and regurgitators. Oh, yeah, I'm a masturbator hater. I'm a fornicator hater. I am the right Reverend Beelzebub, and I speak the truth, the word of the big guy. Some of my people are eating the forbidden swine. Oh, but it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop with pork ribs. Oh, no, pulled pork sandwiches. Or pickle and pimento loaf, my friend. It doesn't start with eating the pork. Some of you motherfuckers out there are laying down with the swine. Putting your peckers in pigs, my friends. Lord, can you help us? Lord God, can you save my people who are fucking right now? Not only are some of y'all laying down with swine, but some of y'all are looking at your kinfolks. I know you live way back up in the hills. I know you take that methamphetamine and it gets y'all confused up in your brain. That Satan working inside your brain. You live way up in the hills, and you take the methamphetamine, and it gets your brain all confused. And the next thing you know, you're looking at your sister, you're looking at your mama, you're looking at your aunt, and you wanna fornicate, you wanna masturbate, you wanna create incest with family members. Oh yeah, your cousin is so good looking. She makes your dick hard in Chinese arithmetic, turns it into a blue-veined helmeted warrior. That's not God talking, that is Satan. Satan is in your rock-hard blue-veined dick. Lordy, lordy, lordy. You know, some of y'all eat the pork sandwich. Some of y'all pork the pig. Some of y'all look at your sister. That's right, and you want to make the beast with two backs with your own kinfolk. Doing the devil's work of incest, my friends. But it don't stop there. Oh, no, it don't stop with sister humping. Some of you kinfolk out there want to bone your brothers. That's right, you want to ride the rump. Don't you remember what the good book said, my friend? It wasn't Adam and Steve, it was Adam and Eve.
I'm Scotty Doggy Dutch, you're gonna move on now, but I'm gonna see what I'm gonna tell you. I'm gonna make you want to remember.
Okay, you heard.
Get this fucking thing out of the mic holder.
Thank you. You heard Dash Rick, Dash Rip Rock. We're okay this weekend. Dash Rip Rock did Chariots of Hellfire from their Hee Haw Hill CD. The Meat Men did their classic Pope on a Rope from Bill Hicks' incredible comedy CD, Rant in E Minor. You heard Pro Life. Sandy Rapp did Ballad of Billy Baird. Jello Biafra and Mojo Nixon did Will the Fetus Be Aborted from their fantastic Prairie Home Invasion CD, Alternative Tentacles label, alternativetentacles.com. From Monty Python, you heard Every Sperm is Sacred from The Meaning of Life film, and started off with DOA from the Festival of Atheists CD doing A Gun and a Bomb. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight the theme is Baird Victory, 40 years of legal birth control. And that is coming up around midweek this week. I believe Thursday is the actual day. And we will be celebrating. And also doing a ton of other shit. We're not going to be on the show next Sunday night. So we are off next Sunday. We are returning in 2 weeks, which is April 1st. And the theme will be Rush Limbaugh's Viagra Adventures. Yes, we did the theme similarly around whenever it was that he got back from that third world country that's full of sex tourism, busted with a big bottle of Viagra that he was illegally transporting internationally. And but we're going to have an even better time with it now. And as his sponsors and advertisers are dropping like flies, and there are real consequences for once for his hate speech, we're going to have fun, and it's going to be a fun and entertaining show as much as it is, you know, another dagger into the overbloated and bag of gas that he has been for so many years. So yes, we are going to you know, throw one more little grenade in the direction of his professional future, and we are going to have tremendous laughs and music and entertainment to go with that. That is April 1st, Rush Limbaugh's Viagra Adventures. We're off April 8th, and normally we would do the theme show, which we do every year as a kind of a sacred annual holiday tradition. Easter, what some people will do to get nailed, but alas, it is a busy time, not with Easter shit, but it is a busy time at the Reverend Is In just the same, where those of us are most active in it. So we will be off April 8th and not doing the Easter what some people will do to get nailed show this year, but we will be back 2 weeks after the Rush Limbaugh show on April 15th, and that will be Reverend Bookburn's birthday show. And so no specific plans for that so far, but very open-minded to suggestion. We've done pretty much everything that can be done, and I've been spanked 150 times on the show, but both roles, I would say. But not that that's a bad idea. That's not worth repeating. But if you have an original idea, by all means, send it. RevBookburn@sjcdc.org. And I'll hate saying it in advance, but with the Rush Limbaugh show, there may be a surprise guest. And because we not only want to deal with Rushy himself, but we want to deal with some of the past cast of characters. I mean, how could I forget? It's not going to be on tonight's show, even with the reproductive freedom nature of tonight's theme, but during the Rush Limbaugh show, besides the special guests, we have invited... what's that asshole's name from Virginia? Bob McDonnell, the governor of Virginia, and, of course, here in Pennsylvania, the governor, Tom Coburn, both signers of extreme and ridiculous, absolutely pathetic anti-choice legislation. And we want them on the show because we are going to do, if they do show up, and I have a feeling they will, and while they're here, we would like to do an invasive medical procedure on them. So be sure to tune in 2 weeks on April 1st for Rush Limbaugh's Viagra Adventures, and with special features on invasive medical procedures against Bob McDonnell and Tom Coburn. Is it Coburn or Coburn? Coburn, I think. Okay. And we have a death to announce. No birthdays, but one death that we know of that's significant and relevant to the book burners. R.I.P. Peter Bergman, who was one of the hilarious comedy combo, the Fire Sign Theater, and thank you for so many good albums and laughs and original and creative and fucking hysterical comedy. Farewell, Peter Bergman, with respect and honor and support and appreciation. All right. Any other news? Oh, too funny. Long-time theocrat, long-time anti-choice fanatic, long-time delusional cultist who hears voices and also hallucinates visual imagery, a person who believes he can leg press over 1,000 pounds, a person who believes that gay people caused a hurricane, a person who believes that his prayer wall along Virginia Beach deflected a hurricane and sent it up to liberal Massachusetts, where they rejoiced that they got hit. Somebody fucking whacked beyond description, an endless history, host of the 700 Club, founder of the theocratic Christian Taliban, Christian Sharia law-oriented Christian coalition, Pat Robertson, for once said something we agree with for the first time ever. When calling, of course, it was not anything original. He's repeating what thousands of other people have been saying. But he did call for the legalization of hemp. And I thought, what's going to be interesting about this is not just that, you know, some fascist and theocrat and crazy delusional cultist said this, but that, considering how many fuckheads have taken over the pro-marijuana movement, I shouldn't say taken over, but, you know, have become a substantial block within the pro-marijuana movement, and you know who I'm talking about, all these fucktards who are saying, we love Ron Paul and or Gary Johnson. So I'm thinking, the Paul bots were probably fall in love with him and say, oh, well, he might be a theocrat who believes in the free market and corporate globalization, but he's called for an end to the war on weed. So keep your eye open for that. And of course, always be outspoken and comment on blogs, corporate media comments areas and the like. And not let the Ron Paul tards get the last word if they start saying, we love Pat. We love Pat, too. Pat and Paul. What else is in the news? No, that's later. But thank you for remembering. Pastor Whoremaster and John the Craptist are, despite all the bonginess of this holiday weekend, St. Patrick's Day, which they use the bong instead of the bottle, so they are to be commended. But they are actually pretty high functioning, and they've been on top of things since tonight's broadcast has begun, and that is to be commended. I know I'm always talking about when they aren't up to par. So let's commend them for being on top of things, despite how thick the smoke is in this room. Okay, what else is going on? One last thing, And then we'll just jump right into the subject of Bill Baird and pro-choice victories pertaining to Right to Privacy Day and Roe versus Wade. It's a little off topic, but I always do this. Former recipient of Asshole of the Week on the show, Chris Christie, the governor of New Jersey and a total scumbag, has done something that's probably not going to be in the news. And his inhumane budget is, of course, legendary on the East Coast. And but as many book burners know, when the Reverend is not being the Reverend, he is a mild-mannered social worker and has come across some people who are directly affected by this idiot that's like, I guess he's like the governor equivalent to like a Rush Limbaugh, not just size-wise. He's also a total scumbag, totally inhumane. And although he's great for comedy material, and I still believe, speaking of Monty Python's The Meaning of Life film, that he's the big man in that restaurant scene in Monty Python's The Meaning of Life. And if you haven't seen it, you must. Chris Christie eliminated some programs for, I mean, eliminated. These things were not cut. These things were eliminated, obliterated. Hundreds and hundreds of adults with autism and Asperger's and any and every kind of special needs lost their service providers. He gutted an organization called the Center for Advocacy Program, and that is a program within ARC, Association for Retarded Citizens. I don't even know how they get away with keeping that name, but they do good stuff, and told the leaders, after destroying their programs, not to announce it until after he announces his budget. So they weren't supposed to tell their clients, you know, or their caregivers, their families, whoever, that they were going to lose their service providers entirely until after that shithead announced his budget. So once again, fuck you, Chris Christie. All right, no more of that. Bill Baird now runs the Pro-Choice League, prochoiceleague.org, with wife Joni, and as always, I'm going to say every couple minutes, just not every couple minutes, but just for a minute, if you have a few bucks, send it prochoiceleague.org, and it's not going to go for jetting around or buying pools or any of that shit. This is true grassroots. Prochoiceleague.org. Bill Baird, like the song by Sandy Rapp that we heard, got involved in this in the early 60s while being a med student in Harlem and seeing an African-American woman kind of staggering in the hospital hallway, and she collapsed and died in his arms, and it turned out it was from an illegal abortion. And that moved him so strongly, he decided to devote his life to reproductive and other freedoms, but with an emphasis on reproductive freedoms. He decided to fight for birth control and abortion rights, and did so even before the laws that legalized, or more or less legalized, these reproductive freedoms. He would help a woman no matter what the legal consequences were. And that included risking a 10-year jail term for providing birth control information. So when he gave his public speech For the first time since the arrests in the early 1900s of Emma Goldman for publicly speaking about birth control and abortion, when he would give a speech, he risked a 10-year jail term, and he was the one doing just that, defying those unjust laws. And he was invited by students in Massachusetts to speak at their college with the intention of challenging the law, with the intention of fighting the case in court. It was going to be inevitable. So instead of just giving birth control information and abortion referrals in Harlem and in the New York area, he went to the campus, spoke, got arrested, was jailed, was in pathetic conditions, and it was harder than it was for even the ordinary prisoners, the way they were to him. And now he was in a case that cost something like $250,000 before they were done fighting it, worth of debt, no help from the movement. And he fought that to the Supreme Court, which decided on March 22nd, 1972, that he was right, that women did have a right to privacy, and that if the right of freedom was to mean anything, it was a decision so profound as to bear or beget a child. That's pretty close to the wording of their decision. And Baird versus Eisenstadt became the law of the land, which means for the first time in American history, birth control was legal for non-married people. Yes, there was a Griswold case in 61 that made birth control accessible to married people, but this was a two-pronged victory. One, it legalized birth control for non-married people, and two, it set the primary legal precedent for Roe versus Wade. So less than a year later, in January 1973, they quoted Baird versus Eisenstadt six times, crafted the same legal language in explaining their decision, and legalized abortion for the first time. And what that means is, it means so many things. It means that, one, a fundamental right, a basic, so obvious a right, was not only accessible, but that so many other women would no longer die from illegal abortions. And the statistics were staggering in the 1960s and before that, from botched illegal abortions. And so it was, I mean, despite the use of the word life from the Christian Sharia law people, it was such a life-saving development and victory. And Baird versus Eisenstadt allowed Roe versus Wade to become possible, and then later in the late 70s, first two other Supreme Court cases to be also be victorious, and that included the rights of minors, although I heard you're not supposed to use the word minors anymore. Whatever, I don't know another word. So he also won the right for minors and young people. And the good news is, despite a lifetime of debt, a lifetime of struggling, shoestring budget, denouncements from, you know, the kind of corporatized side of the movement, the professional fundraisers, etc., and despite all the shit, death threats and an attempt on his life, the bombing of his clinic by anti-choice terrorists, on and on and on, and being written out of history, he's about to be written into history where he belongs. Joni Barrett is finishing the book, and we found out in this past week, and they're full of thank yous and hellos for tonight's show. The book is on its way to being finished and soon in your hands. And you'll, of course, be updated when there's news on that. And some kind of theater show, I believe it's in Massachusetts. And I'm trying to talk them into turning that into a video production so that it's preserved. There's some kind of theater show pertaining to Baird versus Eisenstadt. And I don't want to say too much about that in case it turns into a dud. But the book is definitely on its way, and you will be informed up to the minute, no matter what the theme of the show is. So anyway, ProChoiceLeague.org, Bill Baird, his victory resulted in freedom of birth control access since 1972. After the Baird versus Eisenstadt decision made Roe versus Wade possible, and so much more, which we'll get back to later. We're going to play a second set of tunes and get back to the parts of Baird's history with an emphasis on the 80s, since the bombing of his clinic was 79. We're up to 79. And believe me, it is interesting, and you'll want to hear it. There's two versions of this song. This is the later version, not the 1972 version. This is a track by David Peel, and is entitled "The Pope Smokes Dope."
Down, Keep your Jesus off my penis. Keep your Bible off my balls. Keep your prayers out of my ears and your crosses off my walls. You can keep the Virgin Mother and the resurrection too. Keep your Jesus off my penis. I'll keep my penis off of you. Well, I'm freaking sick and tired of turning on the news and seeing the religious right's ungodly fight to take our right to choose when to bear our children, who to love and how, education and protection if we're just practicing for now. So W, look, obey a book if that's what works for you, but I don't tell you how to pray, so don't you tell me how to screw. Keep your Jesus off my penis, keep your Bible off my balls, keep your prayers out of my ears and your crosses off my walls. You can keep the Virgin Mother and the resurrection too. Keep your Jesus off my penis. I'll keep my penis off of you. So you were screaming bloody murder about the Taliban regime for subjugating women and being too extreme and basing legislation on some ancient holy book. That sound a bit familiar. Here's a mirror. Have a look. And as for the Ten Commandments, they need one more at least. Thou shalt never cover up the acts of pervert priests. Well, how they let that happen? Unless they just abhor us. Well, anyway, adds another layer to the chorus. Keep your Jesus off my penis. Keep your Bible off my balls. Keep your prayers out of my ears and your crosses on my walls. You can keep the Virgin Mother and the resurrection too. Keep your Jesus off my penis. I'll keep my penis off of you. So you'll execute a person and then protect a single cell. But mercy killed the terminally ill and you're going straight to hell. I don't know much about the word of God. Far be it from me. But I can tell you what it ain't. That's hypocristianity. Well, I am not anti-Christian. Before you grab a rope, there is beauty in religion and joy and love and hope. And we're all looking for that answer. Some colossal cosmic cause. But who the fuck are you to turn your views into my laws? It's just believers in the Bible that would have abortion banned. Anti-choice agnostics, I could count them on one hand. As for killing babies, I've got one retort. If someone raped your daughter, George, you'd beg her to abort. And if some young girl from your church shows up with child or some infection, because you told her what a horrid sin it was to use protection, well, one day you'll face the pearly gates. And what you gonna say? When that long-haired Jewish peacenik sends your ass the other way, saying, keep your Jesus off my penis, keep your Bible off my balls, keep your prayers out of my ears, and your crosses off my walls. I've had it up to here with all the bibliophiles you spew, so keep your Jesus off my penis, but at least that's what I will do. Yeah, keep your Jesus off my penis, keep my penis off of you. That's if you want me to.
Gifts of myrrh and such. They said that they had followed a star and missed a woman's touch. Mary thought she might pleasure them, but could not take them to bed. But again, Gabriel appeared to her, and this is what he said. You can suck all the dick you want and still be a virgin. Mary, you can suck all the dick you want, everyone that hangs in the nation. Fellatio ain't no sin. Gonna blow those three wise men, and you'll still be a virgin, cause there was no penetration. So you can suck all the dick you want and still be a virgin. Mary, the donkey and the ox and the lambs and even the little drummer boy. People will remember your name quick. They'll say, damn, that bitch could suck a good dick, cause sucking dick brings peace on.
Who you think you're messing with?
This is Dr. Greed, and I am fed up with the shenanigans that's going on this program. And now, they're celebrating reproductive freedom by playing all these disgusting, degenerate songs. And they have me introducing a song by a black metal band called Cradle of Filth. I am appalled that I have to introduce a song entitled Lord Abortion.
Thank you.
they're dirty, rotten imbeciles doing Wages of Sin, their song about sexually abusive priests and other clergy, also known as our moralizing legislature. Before DRI, you heard Anti-Flag doing Right to Choose. Cradle of Filth did Lord Abortion. Todd Rundgren did his Anti-Operation Rescue song from 1990, entitled Fascist Christ. From South Park, you heard The Virgin Mary. Eric Schwartz did Keep Your Jesus Off My Penis, and started off with David Peel doing The Pope Smokes Dope. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight the theme is Baird Victory, 40 years of legal birth control. And if you tuned in late, we are encouraging people to acknowledge Right to Privacy Day on March 22nd, which I believe is Thursday, and get in touch with ProChoiceLeague.org and say thank you to Bill Baird. If you're poor, and if you have a few bucks, to also send it, and it will not be going for jets or pools or whatever. It's truly grassroots. It's too much grassroots. It's a shoestring budget. It's a hard to get by budget. Just surviving and sustaining, and an excellent cause. And we covered through the Supreme Court cases of Bill Baird in the 70s, all victories, the right to birth control, which set the legal precedent for Roe versus Wade legalizing abortion, two more Supreme Court cases that made abortion more accessible, including to young people, so-called minors, or whatever you're supposed to call pre-adult humans nowadays. And in the 1980s, there was a dramatic shift. Yes, they firebombed Bill Baird's clinic in 1979, one of the earlier acts of anti-choice terrorism. And yes, it was full of patients at the time, and amazingly, they got everybody out. And Bill, the entire staff, and every patient got out alive. But you didn't hear of a high number of terrorist acts in the 70s. Baird's clinic was one of the few. In the early 1980s, that dramatically changed. It was a time when the 60s and the 70s were declared dead by all of these retards that are probably now the teabaggers. Maybe it was like the teabaggers' parents, but they turned a hero. They turned a guy into a hero who was considered too nuts, too right-wing, too extreme to ever be electable. And he was described that way in 1972 and 1976. But in 1980, with the hostage crisis and I forget what else was going on, but they made a hero out of Ronald Reagan, who subsequently made a hero out of corporate America and all the people who destroyed the economy of the U.S. and the world. But also who not only made the arms for hostages deal and armed the Ayatollah and armed the Afghan rebels, which were like the foreparents of Al-Qaeda and the Taliban. That wasn't theocratic enough. He befriended Reverend Jerry Falwell and the Christian supremacists over here and the most extreme religious wing nuts. And in turn, anti-choice extremism went from a handful of incidents to skyrocketing. It was the beginning of the Army of God in the early 80s. More popular evangelists like Pat Robertson and Jerry Falwell calling for theocracy, not overtly, but definitely covertly, to their cult followings that were huge at the time. The Army of God was on the rise and advocating terrorism and carrying it out, bombings sharply rising, and the Reagan administration and Ed Meese, the Attorney General, refusing to take action, refusing to even acknowledge that terrorist acts were terrorism, and completely taking the heat off of the Army of God and theocratic terrorists, which was amazing. And Baird was the first voice of warning that the rhetoric was getting dangerous and stronger, that the rise of terrorism was quite possible, which all of which, of course, came true, unfortunately, and that clinics needed defenders. And at first, the mainstream movement rejected all of that, predictably. And so clinic defenders also got a lot of shit, the way Baird did, because it was called counterproductive and confrontational and blah, blah, blah. It wasn't until it mushroomed into a huge movement during the rescue days. Operation Rescue was a violent group that pretended to be a nonviolent group. And when their numbers grew and they were blocking clinics, clinic defense rose up and swelled in numbers. And then the mainstream movement decided clinic defense was okay, that they invented it, and more importantly, that they own it and deserve all the funds that are donated, of course. But Baird was the first to advocate clinic defense, the first to advocate cracking down on the rising anti-choice terrorism, and the rest was history. Of course, it never slowed down. Once the Army of God and other jihadist groups started the terrorism, bombs and shootings were on the rise. Several doctors have since been murdered. Several other people have been murdered at clinics. And it took over a decade for there to be even a minimal response against that. I mean, now they've gotten a little better at making an effort and capturing some of these assholes who perpetrate it. But in those days, it seemed like they were given a license to kill. And the people who were the early clinic defenders and the people who were the early callers against anti-choice terrorism are the people most responsible for the progress on the front lines. And for yet another thing, we give a huge collective thank you to Bill and Joni Baird for that effort as well. So, once again, please go to prochoiceleague.org. Say thank you at the very least. And if you do have even the smallest amount of money that you can part with, please send it. One more bit of news. This is not reproductive freedom related. Well, in certain ways it is. But in these times of the Tea Party people, these sick fucking teabaggers that not only defend the top 1%, that not only defend Wall Street, the banks, and corporate America, and the insidious Ayn Rand cult, and anti-choice terrorists, and the anti-choice legislation, And, of course, the elimination of all survival programs. But they are also personally dangerous people. And this just happened. I want to know where the guy is from. And if you guys can tear yourself away from the bunk, see where that sick fucker is from. I believe it's San Diego. Yeah, could you check? You know, I'm like in the middle of talking about this. Thank you. Yes, we'll save you later. I believe he's from San Diego, and he's the leader. He's the Tea Party leader. And he has just abducted and raped a woman and is arrested and charged for that. So I guess technically, even though we're independent media, we have to say alleged, but well, he's charged with abduction and rape and of a woman. And I thought among the many reasons why that is such a horror, and that the guy is obviously a sociopath and a criminal, would this asshole then, similar to abusive clergy, would this asshole then say, I want to save the fetus? And that just somehow hit home as a brand new reminder of how sick the opposition is. And so we will cover that more on the Rush Limbaugh's Viagra Adventure show in 2 weeks when details come in, because I believe it happened this weekend. It was somebody sent me information about it, and I just thought I have to acknowledge that this teabagger asshole did that. And but has been caught. And if you're one of those goofs who likes these people and likes to send me hate mail, even though I don't like giving you people a lot of time, I think it's time for a few words right now. This is your leader, probably a guy you send money to, a guy you think can make decisions that craft the future of the nation. This is the guy you believe in. An abductor, a rapist, a sick criminal mind. That's your leader. Okay, let's play a set of tunes, because we have such a killer playlist. We're going to play the third and final set of music. This is from the second album by the Dead Boys and is a classic. This is entitled, I Don't Want to Be No Catholic Boy.
I don't wanna have to say, oh man! Written by I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message. I'm proud of my record as an advocate for the fetus and the mandatory carrying thereof. And I loved my friend, Pastor Ted Haggard, who, even though his homophobia was a little eclipsed by his scandal being caught with a gay male hooker and a whole lot of crystal meth, I still believe that we were on the right side, that we promoted the integration of church and state with our faith-based initiative, and that we did a big contribution for the fetus and anti-choice legislation and the removal of freedom thereof. And so I'm happy to be on this program tonight and introducing the very next song by Witch Hunt. This is George W. Bush saying, check out Witch Hunt's Access Denied. Justify this!
Okay, this next song needs an introduction for anybody outside of the Philadelphia area. It is a reference to a politician here in beautiful Philadelphia and surrounding areas where, much like Pennsylvania's own Rick Santorum, this guy was even more fucking nuts. And in the early 90s, he made such genius pronouncements as, when a woman is raped, she secretes certain hormones that prevent her from getting pregnant. No, this guy was not put in a straitjacket in a rubber room. He was an elected anti-choice legislator and co-author of the Abortion Control Act of 1989. Along with anti-choice terrorist Michael McMonagle and others. And his name was Stephen Friend. And you don't hear much about that asshole now. But anyway, he's the guy spoken of in this live version from this classic live CD by the Dead Milkmen. And this was live at the Trocadero in beautiful Philadelphia. And so the references to anti-choice legislature, extremist, and total fucking nutjob Stephen Friend. This is the Dead Milkmen.
Isn't it great to see all these girls run up and kiss a 30-year-old fat balding man? like to call him Mr. Illiterate Product of an Incestuous Relationship. You know, one thing my dad taught me was it ain't much of a man who picks a fight with pregnant women. And that's basically what they're doing with the women trying to get into abortion clinics. Stephen Friend, the loser leaves the state of Pennsylvania. I think I can take the little weasel, too. Let some other state worry about him. Ship him on out of here. When he flies on the plane away, they're going to have to keep him down in the cargo with all the other pets. I wonder his little dog can carry him. Stephen Friend and me, it's gonna be better than this Holyfield fight coming up. Stephen Friend and me digging it out. On pay-per-view! I'm not even gonna let him just hit the canvas. I'm gonna keep him up for a while and duke him around a little bit.
I'd like to go see that.
You would. You should come see it. I'm thinking about holding it at the shore.
Oh, really? At the shore? But how would I get down there?
You can get a car. It's snowing down here.
Oh, what kind of car should I get?
You should probably get one of them there Vision Tokyo!
Hi, y'all. This is Dr. Laura Hall, and I want to talk about our sainted tea bagging party. People, these tea parties were not I Hate Obama rallies. No, they weren't. These were to let Congress know that the people are dissatisfied with what they're doing at the moment. I get asked all the damn time why we did not protest when our dear President Bush was in office. And I tell him that we loved everything he did. Besides, someone emailed me that our dear President Bush was doing his own teabagging in private. I guess that's in support of our efforts. Bless him. I was told that we right-wing GOP types sure seem to love our teabags. They say that some of us even go from party to party, getting teabagged again and again and again. I have no idea what they mean, but bring the teabagging on. Hey, you all, can I secede from America? All hail teabagging. This is Dr. Laura Hoa saying keep your bags close and your baggers closer. And teabag a liberal Dem before they teabag you. Bye-bye.
Put out a warning when you do one of those, man!
Yes, it's that very special time once again. It's time for Asshole of the Week. And we have runner-ups this week. Sunday, March 18th, 2012, at loisburek.com, the host of Lolo Radio, reverendbookburn.com, and radioforall.net. Our first runner-up to Asshole of the Week is Psychology Today magazine. Psychology Today magazine decided to fire its columnist who writes about subjects of a sexual nature, saying that it's too graphic. So somebody who did speak honestly and openly and provided useful information and thoughts and ideas to the readers was too graphic and had to be fired. Psychology Today magazine runners up to Asshole of the Week. And our second runner up to Asshole of the Week is the state of Georgia's House of Representatives. The state of Georgia's House of Representatives decided not only to fight against abortion access and with their ludicrous restrictive bills and worsening access by changing access of abortion, bringing it down from 26 weeks to 20 weeks. That wasn't good enough. In their theocratic and Christian Sharia tradition, the Georgia House of Representatives, where's the fart sounds? We need the fart sounds for Asshole of the Week, starting with Cheech from Cheech and Chung. Thank you. Much better. The state of Georgia, House of Representatives, reduced access of abortion from 26 weeks to 20 weeks, fought for other restrictive measures, and compared human women to cattle. And actually, that's offensive because... not just because it's derogatory towards women, but it's also derogatory towards animals, not because of the comparison, but by suggesting in the first place, you know, that cattle are a bad thing. So in so many ways, in every way, their comment revealed that these people need to get their genitals out of the genitals of their cousins, try not to run backwards so fast on the evolutionary chain, and stop acting like they are in any way representing anybody other than the religious right-wing theocrats and women-hostile policymakers, as well as their true constituents, the top 1%. The Georgia House of Representatives are the first runners-up to Asshole of the Week. And that means that we have a very special recipient. One who can even outshine the two runners-up. Tonight, Asshole of the Week is washed-up comedian Jeff Foxworthy. Jeff Foxworthy recently made the news not because of anything worthwhile in his crash and burn comedy career, but because he has just endorsed Mitt Romney for president. Not making that up. And it's not that we're Democrats and we're not, you know, we're not for either corporate party, but we also acknowledge how extreme, how much more extreme the current wave of Republicans are, including Romney. It's a sad state of affairs when somebody like that represents the moderates among even crazier fucking characters. Hey. You need the fart sounds. Thank you. You guys are pretty high functioning tonight. See, I would actually do
Put out a warning when you do one of those, man.
I would even do a medicinal marijuana public service announcement and say, see, these guys aren't that fucked up. Okay, thank you, Pastor Hermaster and John the Craptist. But for endorsing Mitt Romney, who is considered the moderate among even crazier fucks like Rick Santorum, Ron Paul, and Newt Gingrich, Jeff Foxworthy, you may be a redneck if you vote for a candidate because some washed up buffoon of a comedian who hasn't been funny in years endorsed the candidate. Your bigotry, Mr. Foxworthy, has allowed you to support somebody who advocates an even more intensified spiraling of this nation down the cesspool, economically, environmentally, and regarding social justice and survival. Jeff Foxworthy, you loaned your name to such a fucked up effort, and you are Asshole of the Week. Alright, if you would kindly kill the fart sounds. Thank you. You heard Ms. Terry from RadioLeft.com doing Dr. Laura Whore, the 2009 version, the most recent version. You heard Behind Enemy Lines doing The Army of God from their The Global Cannibal CD. Before that, Reverend Bookburn's animation theme. The Dead Milkmen did Bitchin' Camaro live on their Chaos Rules live CD. Two tracks by Witch Hunt, Legislative Bodies, Legislating Bodies, and Access Denied. Guided by Voices did Christian Animation Torch Carriers. Corporate Avengers did The Bible is Bullshit, and started off that set with The Dead Boys doing I Don't Want to Be No Catholic Boy. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight the theme has been Bared Victory, 40 Years of Legal Birth Control. And we acknowledge March 22nd as Right to Privacy Day. And we say thank you to Bill Baird, as should everybody who ever fucked any other consenting adult who is not in a coma and benefited from the degree of sexual freedom that we have been able to achieve since the 1960s in this culture. Thank you, Bill Baird, and please thank him yourself. Also, all Bookburners and curious listeners at prochoiceleg.org. And if you can spend even a little bit of bucks, please donate it, because they're really hurting, and I've never asked for money for myself, ever. But this is a great cause. Bill Baird at prochoiceleg.org. Thank you, and here's a few bucks. And we acknowledge March 22nd is Right to Privacy Day, the anniversary of Baird versus Eisenstadt, which legalized birth control for non-married people and set the primary legal precedent for Roe versus Wade, also a Supreme Court decision, and the one that legalized abortion. And the struggle, of course, continues because all these assholes are not focusing on the economy, but on how they can write more and worse anti-choice legislation and more restrictive laws, which need to be fought. We will keep you updated about the book on Bill Baird's life, which is like 50 years of defending birth control rights, abortion rights, the rights of gay people, the rights of people who smoke marijuana, the rights of people who live alternative and open sexual lifestyles of every kind. And all these years later, is still at it. Thank you, brother. Thank you, Bill Baird. And this show will be on Radio For All, if all goes right, technically, radio4all.net. Thanks to our friend, Bookburner, co-producer from afar, and archivist, Pastor Rex Catt. And, of course, we'll post the link at reverendbookburn.com. Write to the Reverend, Rev Bookburn, at sjcdc.org. Check out the almost always updated reverendbookburn.com. The YouTube channel is youtube.com/revbookburn. On MySpace, myspace.com/reverendbookburn. On fascist fuck Facebook, I am The Rev, because you can't be Reverend as a first name. The Rev, last name Bookburn. And on the info tab, which is still there until they change that mandatory stupid fucking timeline, Pages, Reverend Bookburn. We will see you in 2 weeks on April 1st for Rush Limbaugh's Viagra Adventures, and which will include some of Rush Limbaugh's Viagra Adventures recipients in third world nations, as well as Tom Coburn and Bob McDonnell, two asshole Republican governors who passed anti-choice legislation, and we're going to invite them so that we can do an invasive medical procedure on them and have all kinds of fun. And 2 weeks after that, April 15th, Reverend Bookburn's birthday show, we're going to play a closing track and then get out of here. And I thought, how can we close the 40th anniversary of Baird versus Eisenstadt, Right to Privacy Day? I thought, why not play a song that goofs on people who can be manipulated and brainwashed by strong characters, left and right, in Christian or Muslim or any other cult, people who can just be brainwashed by anybody, including people who rewrite history. And then I thought, why not play this classic track by the Gaza Strippers from their Laced Candy CD? This song is entitled Brainwasher. Good night.